From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. More than 215 million gallons of radioactive water entered the Floridan aquifer when a sinkhole opened up at the Mosaic Company's phosphate plant in Polk County. As Mosaic works to recover the contaminated water, the company and Florida's Department of Environmental Protection have faced criticism for not disclosing the incident to the public for nearly 3 weeks. The spill comes as Mosaic seeks to expand its Manatee County mines and open a new 1,800-acre mine in DeSoto County. The latest on response to the sinkhole and how Florida regulates phosphate mines and their radioactive phosphogypsum waste. Plus, a new genomic research center opens its doors this month in Fort Myers. Their goal? To reduce the lag time between the latest advances and applying them in the doctor's office for everything from fighting cancer to improving how doctors prescribe medicine. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Genome research is a cutting-edge discipline in medical science. It applies decades of research into genes to understand the unique genetic profile of a patient and prescribe medication and treatment based on how a patient's DNA works. Florida Gulf Coast University's Emergent Technologies Institute has just launched a collaboration to focus on the latest in genomic research. The nonprofit CTGRI, which stands for the Clinical and Translational Genome Research Institute, opened earlier this month. Focused on working directly with local healthcare providers, the institute is partnering with Lee Memorial Health System in Lee County and with the Healthcare Network of Southwest Florida based in Collier County to apply the latest genomic research into everything from fighting cancer to improving the way doctors prescribe medications. Joining us now to talk about the emerging field of genomic research and what it means for healthcare in Southwest Florida is Dr. Dan Hanley, Chief Scientific Officer at the Clinical and Translational Genome Research Institute. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us by phone to talk about the partnerships with CTGRI, we have Dr. Larry Antonucci, the Chief Operating Officer with Lee Memorial Health System. Thanks for being with us. Well, we'll see if we can grab them here. Dr. Antonucci, do we have you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Thanks for being here. Also from the Healthcare Network of Southwest Florida, we have Dr. Scott Needle, a pediatrician who is also the network's chief medical officer. Thanks for your time today as well, Dr. Needle.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And genome research is what it, our topic today is genome research and what it means for your health. Call in with your questions for our guests and any concerns you have related to genome research. Call 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Or send your questions on social media, on Twitter, tweet at WGCU, and on Facebook, we're WGCU Public Media. Tag your questions with the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Dr. Hanley, I wanted to start with you. Genome and genetics, you know, can be scary words for some people, right, depending on the context in which they're used. But can you start off by giving us a quick overview of what we mean by genome research and what's outside the bounds of that research?
All right. So I think it's important to make clear what we're not doing.
Okay.
And so one of the things that we're not doing is experimenting on embryos or manipulating embryos, genetic material inside embryos, any kind of genetic modification of any organism, we're not doing. We're not doing any experiments on animals. And we want to have the utmost respect for patient privacy. So we're talking in terms of genomics more on sequencing human genomes to use that information to make better treatments, better decisions, and hopefully lead to, for cures for disease.
And when you talk about gene sequencing, tell us a little bit more about that and why that's a necessary first step.
Right. So now we have the technology to actually sequence the entire human genome. So we can do this actually much more inexpensively than in the past. It's much faster. It's very reliable. And we can have this information now that can inform physicians in how they to treat disease better, how to dose and select drugs better. So this is important information that we didn't have several years ago. So we're actually going through a bit of a medical revolution now with this new technology and new information.
And, you know, a phrase used to describe this kind of genome research is personalized medicine. Can you explain what that is and how it compares to medicine as we currently understand it?
All right. So the sort of the older paradigm of medicine is that people are statistical averages, right? So you do experiments, you have control groups and experimental groups, and you're comparing averages. So now we have the technology to actually look at each person as an individual. We differ. All of us differ genetically by a small amount, but it's a significant amount. So we can now use that information to help tailor these treatments and look at every person as an individual and not as a statistical average.
So even just the differences between, say, how my body would metabolize a drug versus yours could be become important in terms of whether or not a treatment would work or how effective it would be.
Right. So just as eye color is different between people and is genetically determined, so many of our physical characteristics are determined by our genetics. So do our response to drugs. So it's very similar. It's something that that we have the technology, we have the knowledge that we can start using this. So our interest is in accelerating that knowledge and getting it into physicians' hands so they can help their patients better.
Well, let's dive right into one area where genomics holds a lot of promise, and that's cancer research and oncology. Mm-hmm. You know, you've described cancer as fundamentally a genetic disease. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Right. So to really simplify things, when you get a wound, right, the cells near the wound get these chemical signals to cause the cells to proliferate and heal that wound. So the cells start growing. They heal the wound. Then they get a stop signal. So the wound is healed. The proliferation stops. In cancer, what happens is these cells get these growth signals, and they grow and they proliferate, but it's uncontrollable. They never get a stop signal. And what they end up doing is, because they're unstable, they're growing inappropriately, they also have genetic instability. They start accumulating mutations. So they're abnormal compared to the other cells in your body. And what's often abnormal in these cells is they have mutations in the genes responsible for growth factors or growth signals that cause this proliferation of cells. And it could be a number of different genes that could be mutated. And they're different between different people. So every tumor is unique in a sense. It has a genetic fingerprint. So the old paradigm was looking at cancer from the origin of its – the site of origin, so pancreatic cancer or lung cancer. Another way of looking at it is, what is the genetic signature that's causing that cancer to grow? So now we have the technology to look at a person's genome, the normal genome, and look at the tumor genome and compare and see what's mutated in that tumor genome that's driving specifically that cancer growth. And if we know what those pathways are, the growth signals, there are actually drugs already on the market, and we want to get more drugs in the pipeline, but there are drugs that will block those pathways. And so it's a targeted molecular therapy is what they call it. So you're targeting, as opposed to chemotherapy in general, which kills any rapidly growing cell. That's the traditional method of treating cancer and chemotherapy. In addition, now using these targeted therapies, once you sequence the tumor, you find out what genes are mutated in that particular tumor in that particular person, and then you tailor a personalized drug regimen that target those pathways and stop that tumor growth.
So we're potentially looking at a day where things – the typical cancer treatments that we're used to, things like chemotherapy, which, as you said, don't really discriminate between the healthy cells and the not-so-healthy cells. Is that something that's going to become a thing of the past?
I think you'd really have to talk to an oncologist about that. I think
oncologists – long term.
Right, oncologists don't want to take anything off the table because
sure.
A lot of these therapies have a long track record and they know what works. This is adding a new layer of tools to the toolbox.
Gotcha. And shifting away from cancer treatments, I want to ask our guests on the phone about the applications of this kind of genome research with their patients. Dr. Larry Antonucci, you're with Lee Memorial Health System, and the health system is partnering with CTGRI to better select and dose pain medication after surgery. Can you tell us about how that works and what benefits patients could see using these methods based on genetic information?
Sure. As Dr. Hanley mentioned, in medicine, we tend to treat to the average. We use average doses for particular conditions based on clinical studies. But we know that everyone's a little bit different, and we have fast metabolizers and slow metabolizers of all sorts of different drugs. And that has to do with the enzymes that we all have in our body, and those enzymes are driven by our genetic makeup. So if using pain medicine as an example, we know that if someone has too much of a pain medicine, there could be dire consequences with regard to respiratory depression or even death with an overdose. And we certainly know that not enough pain medicine will cause increased discomfort, maybe prolonged length of stay, difficulty getting better, et cetera. So knowing how someone metabolizes it, a particular medicine, whether it's a pain medicine or another one, could actually improve outcomes, lower costs, as we tailor and we target the therapy to the patient. You mentioned the concept of personalized care, and that's really what that is. In talking on cancer, you mentioned whether chemotherapy would become obsolete. The fact is that it may not necessarily become obsolete, but what you might be able to do is find the best chemotherapeutic agent for a particular tumor, as opposed to using combination chemotherapy, which is frequently used today. So rather than having a course of three different agents, we may be able to tailor that therapy so the patient may only need one agent, for instance. So that would be an example.
Okay. And Dr. Scott Needle with the Healthcare Network of Southwest Florida, you're leading a partnership with CTGRI to use this technology to improve and use of medication in young patients diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. What does using genome research mean in this area? How does it improve on how we diagnose and treat something like ADHD now?
Well, just like Dr. Antonucci was saying, as far as with using the right genome data to better figure out what's going to be the right pain management for a certain person, what's going to be the right drug that's going to work in the best way, there's a lot of evidence starting to accumulate that you can use that as well for drugs that are used for a lot of mental health conditions, such as for ADHD. At the Healthcare Network of Southwest Florida, we see a lot of kids who have mental health issues, in particular ADHD, and for some of them we do behavioral treatment, but for a lot of them it's the medication. And the challenge that we run into is there are a number of ones that you can pick to start from, and you can say, all right, we know these certain ones are good for this condition, but unfortunately, up until now, we haven't been able to say which one might be right for you as an individual person. And this data will hopefully help us figure out what's going to be the right medicine for that person right from the start so that you avoid side effects, you get them treated much more quickly, and it means a lot less stress, a lot less upheaval for the entire family. You can imagine with a condition such as ADHD where the kids are having trouble in school, they're having trouble socially, it's very stressful for the family. The sooner you can get them in the right medication, the right therapy, it's going to be better all around, and that's the hope that this data can produce.
And Dr. Needle, you say one promise of this genome research is it will help move treatments outside the typical population of white male subjects and bring in more information on minorities and others not necessarily represented in genetic databases. And it will help track patients over a longer time frame. Can you expound on this idea for us?
Yeah, the Healthcare Network of Southwest Florida, we're one of the largest primary care providers, and we see a lot of the underserved of Collier County. So a lot of our patient population are Hispanic, Haitian, and just like you said, these are groups of patients that usually aren't included in a lot of these research studies there. So I think it's really exciting that we can potentially add to the science. And I want to add, it's not just a theoretical kind of thing that we're going to collect samples from people and it's going to sit in a database and 5 years from now someone might find a use for it here. I think what's most exciting about the partnership with CTGRI is that this is information that, yes, it's going to add to the science, but it's also going to give immediate help to the patients here and now. This is something that's going to be practical. The data can be in their medical chart. Any doctor, any nurse who's helping to take care of the patient is going to see that, and it can follow them and hopefully improve the care for not just for when they see our doctors at Healthcare Network, but also whoever else comes into contact with them.
You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. Our topic this half hour, genome research at the new Clinical and Translational Genome Research Institute in Fort Myers, and how this research is bringing advances in medical treatments to Southwest Florida. Our guests include Dr. Dan Hanley with the Clinical and Translational Genome Research Institute, Dr. Scott Needle with the Healthcare Network of Southwest Florida, and Dr. Larry Antonucci with Lee Memorial Health System. Join our conversation. Call 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. You can also leave us a comment or question on social media. We're at WGCU Public Media on Facebook, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Dr. Hanley, you know, now that we've described genome research and some of its applications, let's talk about the Clinical and Translational Genome Research Institute that you're now heading up here at FGCU's Emergent Technologies Institute. Can you explain what this title means, what clinical genome research is, and what translational means?
Right. So the clinical part means that we want to make these tools available and be used in a clinic as opposed to doing basic research.
Just to publish and, yeah.
Right. So our output, so a lot of institutions that are doing a lot of research, for a typical scientist, the output is how many papers, academic papers you publish and in what journals. And that's what makes a scientific career. And that's important to be able to have
sure.
peer-reviewed articles. We're looking at the output of how does our institute – actually positively impact the lives of patients and help physicians. So it's a different approach. And that's part of the translational part of our name as well. Translational means translating discoveries and information into tools, practical tools that physicians can use to help their patients.
All right. And, you know, being that you're going to be housed or are housed rather at FGCU's Emergent Technologies Institute, is there going to be opportunities for FGCU students to take part in this?
Absolutely. We've had some interns from FGCU, been very impressed with the quality of the interns. And we anticipate having more as we grow, having fellowships, having more internships, paid internships, more opportunities for research at the Institute. Another initiative that we're pursuing that we hope to have with FGCU, because we want to accelerate the pace of precision medicine, one of the areas aside from research that we have identified as needing to be addressed is education. So if you want to have this advanced technology, you really want to – you need a 21st century workforce. So one of the areas that seems to have been not given as much attention are the clinical laboratory scientists. So when you go to a hospital or to your physician and you get a blood draw or they want to have some test done, they take your blood and it goes off somewhere. You don't know where, right? Mm-hmm. And then it ends up going to a clinical laboratory. And these laboratories are very highly regulated. They're very skilled, highly trained people that operate these the machinery to get the test results back. But typically, they don't get training in advanced genomic technologies. So we want to help correct that. Florida Gulf Coast University has a clinical laboratory scientist program already. What we want to do is institute a continuing education program for graduates from Florida Gulf Coast University and from people from all over the country, all over the world that are working professionals. They may have been working in a lab for 20 years, and they really haven't been exposed to the new technology. We want to elevate that level of knowledge and competency and proficiency so that these medical technologists know how to use this technology. And so that's one of the visions for our use of the laboratory at the Emergent Technologies Institute.
All right. And for our guests on the phone, what kind of training and expertise do you see CTGRI being able to provide? And Dr. Antonucci with Lee Memorial, we'll start with you.
Well, I think that genomics and pharmacogenomics is a very, very young science. And therefore, the people that we have working in our labs as Dr. Hanley said, don't necessarily have that experience. So having a place close by where people can go and learn these technologies as these tests become more mainstream, I think would be of great value to the organization.
All right. And, you know, I'd like to switch gears just a little bit with a few minutes we have left here and you know, address some concerns related to genetic information and privacy. A patient would have to make his or her genetic profile available to medical scientists to take advantage of these treatments, presumably. Are there concerns about this information, you know, falling into the wrong hands? Could someone be at a disadvantage if, say, an insurance company learns their genetics requires a more expensive drug or makes them ineligible for a common form of treatment?
You know, certainly at our institution, we take patient privacy extremely seriously. We know that there have been data breaches in other institutions, so it's one of the main focuses of our entire information technology department, and we treat the medical record with great care. That being said, certainly any information that's in a patient's medical record, it has the potential of causing harm if being put in the wrong hands. We saw this back in the 80s when HIV testing was started. There was real concerns over how would potential employers deal with that, insurance companies, et cetera. So certainly from our perspective, from the health system's perspective, we guard that information very, very carefully.
Mm-hmm. All right. As we go through, you know, learning more about genetics and the role that our genomes play in our day-to-day health, is there a concern that a patient's genetic profile could label them in an adverse way? And I'm thinking of something like from the film Gattaca, you know, way far in the future here, where our genetic fingerprint becomes a kind of destiny we can't avoid.
Well, this is one of the advantages of the drug-gene interaction, pharmacogenomics, combination of pharmacology and genomics, is that you're only looking at maybe 30-some genes.
Okay.
Right? So as opposed to a whole genome sequencing where it's over 20,000 genes and it contains information on all sorts of disease risk and things that geneticists are still trying to figure out what the clinical implications of those are, when you're looking at a subset of those genes, only 30-some odd genes, I personally I've had the test done, and I have no problem sharing my test with other people because what does anyone care whether I'm a slow or fast metabolizer of such and such drug? An insurance company shouldn't care. An employer shouldn't care. And there's no stigma attached. I'm a slow metabolizer. So it's a whole different field, and that's what makes this area really attractive.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's an important point because what we are talking about is pharmacogenomics and not a genetic modification of humans or anything like that. That's not in the picture.
Gotcha. Well, that is all the time we have for today's program, but thanks so much to my guest, Dr. Dan Hanley, with the new Clinical and Translational Genome Research Institute, housed here at FGCU's Emergent Technologies Institute. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And on the phone, thanks to Dr. Scott Needle with the Healthcare Network of Southwest Florida. Great to have you with us.
You're welcome.
And Lee Memorial Health System's Dr. Larry Antonucci has also been with us. Great to speak with you as well.
Same here. Thank you.
More information on these topics and past editions of the show are online at wgcu.org/Gulf Coast Live. Keep the conversation going on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media. And keep your tweets coming. We're at WGCU. Use the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. Thanks to my producers today, Richard Chinqui, A.J. Leonard, Tarek Halligan, and Matthew Smith. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.
Been right, see? Been wrong.